At 7:22 a.m. on April the 15th, 150 years ago, Abraham Lincoln, the nation's 16th president, breathed his last in a rooming house bed too small to accommodate his 6-foot-4-inch frame. Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth, had fled to southern Maryland, where a country doctor set his broken leg. To mark the anniversary, WYPR's Joel McCord followed Booth's trail from Ford's Theater in Washington to the Potomac River.
Trying to piece together the story of Lincoln's assassination and Booth's flight is like the college stunt where someone runs into a classroom, fires a cap pistol, and runs out, and the professor asks, "What happened?" You get almost as many answers as there are people in the room. It was the same thing at Ford's Theater when Booth, a Maryland native, slipped into the president's box and fired a single shot, point blank, into Lincoln's head.
And so we think there was a messenger or a footman or whatever they call him sitting at the door.
Anthony Pitch is the author of They Have Killed Papa Dead, one of many books on the Lincoln assassination. He also volunteers at Ford's. Pitch says it's not clear how Booth got into the president's box.
Some people said he gave a visiting card to that fellow and got in. Other people say he pushed it with his knee. Other people say there was no guard there.
What is clear is that Booth, a famous actor, had played Ford's many times. He knew his way around the building, the back stairwells, the hidden hallways, and he knew the play that was on the boards that night, Our American Cousin, Inside Out. He slipped into a narrow alcove outside the president's box, where he'd carved a peephole in the door that afternoon, and he waited for a guaranteed laugh line, "You sock-dologizing old man-trap."
And then he looked through the people. Lincoln was right in front of him, so he opened the door, fired a point-blank range. He couldn't miss.
Major Henry Rathbone, one of Lincoln's guests, lunged at the intruder. But Booth pulled a knife, slashed Rathbone, then leapt from the box 12 feet to the stage. He landed awkwardly, breaking his leg, yet pulled himself up, shouted "Sic Semper Tyrannis," thus always to tyrants, and dashed out the stage door to his waiting horse. Booth galloped out of town and rendezvoused with David Harold, one of his co-conspirators in Maryland. They made for Surratt's Tavern in what is now Clinton in Prince George's County. The red clapboard building, restored to its original appearance in the 1970s, is hemmed in on all sides by a gas station, a 7-Eleven, and a row of fast food joints now. But it was a Confederate safe house in the 1860s, owned by the same Mary Surratt, whose Washington boarding house hosted the conspirators who had earlier plotted to kidnap Lincoln.
We don't say whether she's innocent or guilty here. We give you the facts, and we allow you, the visitor, to decide whether you think she's guilty or innocent.
Susan Proctor is the education coordinator at Surratt House Museum. She concedes that Mary Surratt was a Southern sympathizer, that she delivered rifles and supplies to the tavern, and had told John Lloyd, who was running the tavern then, to have those shooting irons ready. You figure out the rest. Booth and Harold arrived about midnight.
David Harold will enter the building, going after supplies that were hidden here from the previous kidnap attempts. Booth stays on his horse because of his injured leg.
While Harold fetched the supplies, Booth bragged to Lloyd about having killed the president. Soon they rode off, leaving one of the rifles behind. Booth couldn't handle it. Lloyd hid the rifle by tying a rope around it and hanging it in a space between the walls of the kitchen and the family dining room. Later, federal troops, hot on Booth's tail, arrived at the tavern and began to pressure Lloyd.
At this point, he's going, "I will tell you anything and everything you need to know." He shows them where the gun has been hidden. They rush upstairs and grab that rope to pull it up the wall. No gun.
The soldiers ran back downstairs to the family dining room, grabbed axes, and tore out the wall to find the gun resting by the floorboards.
And that's one of the key pieces of evidence they use against Mary and the other 7 conspirators.
Booth and Harold arrived at the farm of Dr. Samuel A. Mudd near Waldorf about 4 in the morning. They banged on the door, and when Mudd finally answered, they gave fake names and said one of them had broken his leg when his horse rolled on him. Would the doctor please help? Now, Mudd had met Booth in November of 1864 when the actor had come to Charles County searching for real estate and a horse, and he saw him again in Washington in December. But Marilyn Jumalon, a docent at the restored home, says there's no way Mudd recognized Booth.
He had a beard and a mustache. It was rather cold still that morning, kind of rainy, somewhat dark at 4. The patient was wrapped in a shawl.
Whether Mudd knew it was Booth or not, he couldn't have known that the actor had shot the president the night before.
Remember, we didn't have CNN and cell phones, and that information traveled very slowly.
Eddie Roberts is vice president of the Dr. Mudd Society. He laid out his theory as we walked across the fields of Mudd's farm.
There's no way he could have known who Booth was, number one. If he did, then he would have had to question what was going on, because we feel that he probably knew there was a plan for an attempt to kidnap the president at some point.
Roberts says it wasn't until Mudd went to nearby Bryantown later in the day for supplies that he learned about Lincoln's assassination and the search for two fugitives that he began to put two and two together. Mudd headed back to the farm where he encountered Booth and Harold. Accounts vary, but at some point, Booth and Harold headed toward the Potomac through forbidding Zakiah Swamp, nearly 70,000 acres of wetland.
How would you like to be two of the most wanted people in the world at that time, knowing everybody's chasing you and you pretty much can't leave here?
They hid out in a pine thicket for 4 days, supported by a Southern operative named Thomas Jones. At nightfall on the fourth day, Jones supplied them with a small rowboat, a compass, and a candle, and sent them on their way. Harold rowed all night, but when daylight came, says Jumalon, they were in Nanjemoy Creek, several miles upstream, still in Maryland.
And they're like, oops, okay, we didn't go where we thought we were going. They stayed there for about 2 days, and then they went across.
That time, they made it to the farm of Richard Garrett in Port Royal, Virginia, where federal troops finally caught up with them as they hid in the tobacco barn. The troops fired the barn, and Harold surrendered. But Booth died, the victim of a single gunshot wound to the head. I'm Joel McCord for 88.1 WYPR.